Blog Talk Radio.
From 6 p.m. to 7:30, we live.
celebrity guest interviews, segments on health, wellness, fashion, entrepreneurship, spirituality, and more. Sade Champagne Show.
Good evening, everyone. That was Janelle Monae featuring Jadena with Yoga. It's Sade Champagne, and welcome to episode 3 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. Every episode is available on iTunes. Search the Sade Champagne Show, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. Thanks to everyone for tuning in every single week, and you tune in from all around the world. You can listen to us live every Wednesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific on your mobile devices at 323-693-3043 or at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. Thank you to Travis Miller for creating and producing my show's theme song and to Scott Swish for mixing it. If this is your first time listening, I am a professional musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. I have created, directed, and executive produced almost 200 charitable and inspirational events, including my popular Power of a Dream Tour. I love mentoring, coaching, and using my platform to encourage, empower, and bring out the gold in others. Tonight's celebrity guest is comedian, actress, and writer Rasika Mather, who is most known from MTV's Nick Cannon's Presents Wild and Out, Crazy Stupid Love, Weeds, and My Name is Earl. And our special guest is popular model and blogger Adina Musta from ASAP Rocky, Maroon 5, Jason Derulo, and Chris Brown music videos, LA Fashion Week, and ABC Family. We also have great segments scheduled for tonight, and you'll have the opportunity to call in and chat with Tan Candy Styles, Tanya Chisholm, and ask her your style and fashion questions live on air. I want to shout out Pop Blitz magazine. This is one of my favorite online magazines, and they cover the hottest concerts, interview your favorite celebrities, and support different charitable causes. They have been a huge support to me and my artists and my Power of a Dream tour. Check out popblitzmag.com for all the fun and exclusive content. Once again, that's .com. I'm still auditioning dancers for my Ventura County's 7th Annual Rising Star Dance Competition. This is for all teen and preteen dancers in Southern California. The live event will take place Saturday, April 2nd at the Thousand Oaks Teen Center in Thousand Oaks, California. All levels of dancers are invited to join. We take groups, solos, duos, trios. We bring in celebrity guest judges, hosts, and performers from Disney, Nickelodeon, Say You Think You Can Dance, America's Best Dance Crew, and more. There is no fee to audition. Proceeds will be donated to the Destined to Live a Good Life Children's Orphanage in Zambia, Africa. You know, that's the charity that I spotlighted last week for my charity spotlight segment. To audition and find out more details, email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. Also, my Power of a Dream tour will be at Grizzly Youth Academy later this month. This is one of our favorite charities we love to support throughout the year. We love traveling, and if you're looking to bring Power of a Dream tour or any of our award-winning, critically acclaimed artists to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic.com for more details. That's once again sadechampagnemusic.com for more details. And lastly, I want to thank everyone who has been watching, sharing, and subscribing all my new videos. I'm constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs that, and I'll be going into the studio soon. So to find out more info about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. That's GoFundMe.com/SadeChampagneMusic. I will be live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and I want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, Facebook me at Sade Champagne, or Instagram, I am Sade Champagne. It's spelled Sade like the singer, S-A-D-E, and Champagne like the drink. You can hashtag Sade Champagne Show or GHR to join in the conversation. Shout out to everyone who's already been tweeting me, Facebooking me, Instagramming, YouTubing, and emailing me. I'm overflowing with gratitude and thanks. first segment of the night is Motivational Moments with Lisa Leewalt. Join multi-threat performer, entertainer, and motivational speaker Lisa Leewalt as she shares inspirational stories and ideas to help encourage, empower, and activate you and your dreams and aspirations. Be sure to follow her at Lisa Leewalt on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, and hashtag Motivational Moments to join in the conversation.
Hey guys, it's Lisa. Welcome to Motivational Moments. So today I just wanted to chat a little bit about what is the story that you have about yourself? If I were to ask you, do you consider yourself to be a champion, someone who's super successful, or do you see yourself as somebody who's kind of lacking? Whether that's lacking in finances, lacking in looks, lacking in talent, lacking in purpose, or maybe just lacking in luck. How do you see yourself? Because I believe that whatever story that you tell yourself is what will ultimately become your reality. For example, when I was back in college, I got my first retail job. And for whatever reason, I started assuming that I sucked at retail because I think my boss just wasn't that excited about me. They didn't seem to give me very many hours. And in the beginning, in my first couple of weeks, I remember I even checked the sales, and my sales were low that day that I checked, especially compared to everybody else's. And so I had this story that I was this horrible retail salesperson. I just wasn't naturally talented at it. And eventually I got fired, which just reinforced my belief. And even later in life when times got really hard and I really needed the money, I refused to take a retail job because I believed that I was horrible at it. Well, funny enough, a couple years later, I ran into my old boss from that job, and we got to talking and catching up, and she told me that I had actually been their top salesperson. I was the top salesperson in that company when I worked there. She said they didn't fire me because of my sales. They fired me because of my attitude. Well, you can probably imagine if I knew that my sales were the best, I would have had a little different attitude. I probably would have walked in there extremely confident with my head held high, very friendly, because heck, I'm the top salesperson. But because of the story that I told myself about how horrible I was at retail, that became my reality. I ended up getting fired from my retail job and never taking another one. A similar situation happened in my personal life. I had a friend that stabbed me in the back, and I started to, I assumed that, you know, everybody was going to stab me in the back, and I started believing that I just didn't want to get close to anyone because of this fear of being betrayed. And I remember one of my coworkers finally confronted me on it because I had shared with her a little bit about what had happened, and she said, well, so Lisa, how many friends do you think that you've had over the course of your life? I said, I didn't know. She said, would it be fair to say it was probably over 100? I said, yeah. So let's call it 130. Would it be fair to say you probably also had thousands of acquaintances over the period of your life? I said, yeah, that would be fair. So she said, in reality, the odds are that there's about a 1 in 120 or 130% chance that then your next friend is going to stab you in the back. Kind of took me off guard, but I realized, yeah, she's probably right. And see, she said, so in reality, isn't really not the evidence that proves that people are untrustworthy, but that you are choosing to be untrusting, even in spite of the evidence. Because the evidence says there's really only a 1 in 130 chance that somebody's going to stab you in the back, but you're choosing to focus on that one experience. And this is so true of so many areas of our life. As people, it's human nature to focus on the negative things that happen to us and not the positive. But the reality of the situation is those are normally rare experiences. If I were to ask you to give me some proof and some examples of why you think you're a failure, why you think you're lacking in certain areas, I'm sure that you could come up with a couple examples of why you feel you're lacking, but I bet if I really sat you down, you could probably come up with hundreds of examples of times that you had succeeded in those very same areas, or times that you hadn't failed in those very same areas, and yet you choose to focus on the one, two, or three times that you did fail, and you consider yourself lacking instead of a champion, when in reality, there was hundreds of experiences that prove that you were successful in those areas and that you are a success in those areas. One final thought. I remember my dad works in sales training, and I used to read stories about different tactics companies would use to get their lower performing salespeople to do better. And one of the companies would tell their lowest performing salespeople that they were so proud of them that in reward that they were going to give them a new suit and they were going to let them drive the company car for a month, which was this really expensive high-end car. And these people assumed that they must have been doing really well to receive this award. They didn't lie. They didn't say they were doing well. They just said they were so proud of them that they were going to give them these accolades. And so these people were showing up dressed to the nines, showing up in this expensive car, believing that they must be amazing. And guess what happened? I'm sure you can guess. By the end of the month, they were the top-performing salespeople because of the amount of confidence they started walking into to work every day with and the story that they told themselves that they were successful. That story you tell yourself becomes your reality. Stop looking at the one time, the one example of when you failed, and start calling to memory the thousands of times that you succeeded. Whether you see yourself as a champion or a failure ultimately is your choice, because it's your choice what you choose to focus on. You are not a failure. You are a champion. Start living like it. Thanks, guys. I'll see you next week.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show. That was Motivational Moments with Lisa Lewalt. Our first interview of the night is with one of my friends, Rossica Mather. She is an actress, comedian, writer, and speaker, most well known from MTV's Nick Cannon Presents Wild and Out, Crazy Stupid Love, My Name is Earl, and Weeds. Some of her other notable projects include CBS's The Night Crew and Rick Najera's Color Correct News for the Latino Rebels Network. She has been performing to sold-out Sketchville houses in Chicago, San Francisco, and New Orleans with her comedy troupe, Siblings of Doctors, alongside Danny Pudi of NBC's Community and NPR comedic essayist Ranjit Sowry, and looks forward to playing with special guest outsourced Parvish China at Chicago Sketchfest 2016. Rossica recently toured her one-woman show, Mom, Dad, I Have ADHD. She is also an award-winning postmaster and storyteller. Let's get her in the studio. Rossica, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing fabulous. How are you, Sade?
I'm so wonderful, and I'm glad to have you here, and I want to thank you for being our celebrity guest on the Sade Champagne Show tonight.
It's a total honor, as we'll get into.
So we're getting to this interview, you know, because I love chatting with you. I can just listen to you and communicate with you all day and never get tired of it. And so share with us, when were you first interested in performing arts and comedy?
I feel like I was sort of the weird kid in school, but not the class clown, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Look for that quieter child who might be scribbling comics because they're great at drawing and writing. And then, you know, they might show it to a few friends, and that gets a chuckle. But when it's smart enough that even the teacher is into the humor, you have a pretty good formula for somebody who's got, you know, a love for comedy, is respectful, and could maybe do something serious with that. So I think that was me. And by high school, I had some of the, like, the popular girls who were very good in the theater and drama. And by saying that, I'm totally implying I was not popular, okay? We're talking Nerd Honor Society. That was me. And those students were saying, hey, you know, you're really funny, and you're also just doing really different stuff. Like, we want to know you. Do you hang out with people? And I didn't know what that even meant, what it meant to hang out and how you be friends with people when you don't just share class with them, because I came from a very, very strict household growing up. I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend, which is weird because I was allowed to have a husband, you know, because it's the way it is in an Indian household.
You're like, well, how am I going to get a husband without a boyfriend first?
How do you get
at
one
least
a
first date or something?
By their arranged, I see. Kind of deranged, yes. But yes, I guess. And so, you know, that was kind of the journey that would follow. Is there was a lot of talent, and I had to kind of win people over with my own charm, which is always mm-hmm. growing, but I love mm-hmm. that I've made an impression on you. But I have to say, I have to turn this right back around on you. You mm-hmm. are probably half my age, and a lot of people just can't believe that, you know.
No, there's no way. I'm not that much younger than you.
Well, you did have a birthday. I feel like you have a very, you know, you're getting in at such a great age, and you've got a lot of young ears and eyes, you know, on you, which is great, because you're so inspiring, and you're really about your message. And I just saw you as somebody who's like, dang, she's undeniable, and people like that, doors open for people like that, you know. And it's Nahara. We have to make sure we say these Latino names correctly, because, you know, these are my people.
Yes, please. Yes, please help me with the
you
name.
Had to
I
say
know I was those
names. Ethnic names, so I should have helped you out.
I was like, I also need some help. And they're
people
slaughter my name all the time.
Well, Rick is one of my good friends and mentors, and he, you know, he's in charge of hiring a lot of people, and he says they can be talented, but if I'm sorry to say, if they're an a-hole, it's not going to go any further. And that kind of stuff starts to show up, because we see those guys winning. They always seem to get on top, but there's not always, you know, the path will run dry for people like that. So I'm not saying being nice, because the word nice is also kind of been misconstrued by feminists, but I am saying be kind to people in your path who are willing to help you, because really all you can do is keep opening doors for each other. That's really, I think, what the message is there.
Awesome. I received that. And so this is a kind of a two-part question, but I think you answered a little bit, but if you'd like to share, like, when did you know, or how did you know that you wanted this to be your life? And with you growing up in a strict household, were your family and friends supportive of that decision?
I was a major in advertising. That's what I did at UT Austin. And when you pick your major, you're pretty much deciding what you want to do with your whole life. And, your, I mean, your parents hope so. that, you know, or whoever paid for your college is like, okay, this is it. And I started to work. I left for Chicago for an internship at Leo Burnett, and I loved it. And I was really just getting to be that young creative who could just kind of come into the room and say whatever and let my bosses clean up the mess, you know, and let them take the heat or the credit. And it was great. And then they hired me, and I worked there for about a year. When I started to realize that the assignments we're getting were not jiving with my heart and my soul. And, you know, for me, when you're young and you're defining what you're about in the world, and you've already been a victim of racism, and you've already been a victim of, you know, being, you know, discriminated against because you're short or hairy or whatever it is for people, you do get a side of the world that says, hey, I want to see the underdog come out on top. But when you're working in a corporate field like advertising, I really only saw the same types of products being trumpeted, and there wasn't a lot of honor behind it. And now I'm the person who's in charge of making up a lot of the puffery that we're saying about a product when I really go home and I use it, and it's, you know, sorry to say, but it's kind of crap and chemicals and and that's sort of the same story in advertising. We're just pushing junk. And, you know, what the soft drinks are, high fructose corn syrup. It was when I got assigned products like Philip Morris, the cigarette maker, and the U.S. Army. There's a lot of great people in the Army, but I'm talking about agendas. It just felt wrong to me. It just felt completely and utterly wrong. It wasn't like, this isn't just a Toyota that I'm, you know, creating ads about excited customers for. This is a moral freaking dilemma. And I told them, I actually don't want to do this anymore. And I had a $6,000 job. I was on my way to the six-figure type of track. And I see the people around me. They were becoming creative directors. They occurred to me as sort of soulless. And I don't see it that way anymore. Now I just get that people have different priorities when they're older. They have families. So you're going to take your skill set and you're going to do what you need to do to put diapers on your children. That's fine, you know. And I've felt I need to be back at that stage and reevaluate and go back to advertising because the money's tight, you know. But at that time, I said, I don't want to do this. I think people who are in the booths are having a lot more fun than I am when we record these voiceover commercials, and I would rather be doing that. And so I got a job offer to come out to L.A. and shoot a pilot with Bob Odenkirk from Mr. Show, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. And that was the beginning of my love-hate affair with Los Angeles, California.
You're like, definitely love-hate. I was just there today actually at your show attending, you know, to go see to Wild and Out. And I'm like, the traffic was the worst thing of the day. Like, I'm like, that's the hate part of LA. Well, one of the hate parts. I know you're talking about the industry part too, but today for me, it was the traffic.
It's like, I just want to see my show, okay? I don't want to park.
Exactly.
Let's just get there.
So, you know, speaking of that, what are some of the challenges you have faced in your career, and how do you overcome or face them?
Well, let's speak of Wild and Out. You know, a lot of people see that show and they get to see sort of just, you know, you're seeing the best 22 minutes of an episode. But what people may not see is, you know, the comics, we got to fight for our stage time. And stand-up and improv approach that very differently. You know, improv people are very group-minded people. And a lot of stand-up, I would see, they're very... just grab the mic and they don't care. And, you know, that kind of attitude was something I found very hard to deal with, especially because I was tiny little Indian Rasika and there's these huge black guys and they're all up there with me. And, oh, they're not going to give you, they're not just going to hand you the mic because you're a sweet little pretty, you know, young thing.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. You had to take it. But I think that, you know, I learned how to have balls because of that. So there's a lesson in that. And I'm glad that's what a lot of kids now see. But I think that one of the reasons that I'm not on the show anymore is I might have trimmed my balls a little. But that's okay. I'm doing other things now. I'm doing things that require, you know, more of the other organ, less balls.
Right, exactly.
And more of the female stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's great because you show the different dynamics to what you do. Not a lot of artists can do what you do. You show a whole wide variety of it because of the fact that you are such a kind person, you're very loving, you're very encouraging. For you to be able to, you know, basically acting, you know, into a character in order to fit the realm of the show, I think is very brilliant. And that's a testament, you know, a testimony to who you are and what you're able to bring to the table, you know. But I think it's great that you're diverse as an artist. So I want to hear your thoughts on the Oscars, you know, coming up and being a woman of color in the entertainment industry.
I've had that on my mind too. I've been reading a lot of interviews ever since the controversy, and it's really just, you know, this is sort of the second year with that hashtag #OscarsSoWhite. And of course in my sketch comedy troupe, Siblings of Doctors, we made fun of it too. And, you know, like a hush falls over the crowd because we are Caucasian, you know, but they're kind of laughing along with us. We're laughing about the plight. But the more articles that I read, the more I start wondering, like, am I one of those women they're talking about? They're saying, you know, what we can do is create initiatives for you, but you have to show up. And so this is where, you know, like, what is it about advertising that made me feel like it wasn't for me? You know, was it that there was, even in that business, there's a lot of white males doing that work? And in the creative department, it was mostly my white males. And there, you know, there's always this agenda there, you know, and how do you get your own, how do you get the good the good, mushy, and empowering mm-hmm. stuff through, how you get your mm-hmm. own personal life insights through, right? It's
mm-hmm.
the same thing in Wild and Out. You know, no one's
yeah.
giving it to me. I have to mm-hmm. take it. So
mm-hmm.
the last interview that I read, I think Ryan Murphy is, I think that's his name. He's
mm-hmm.
really trying to have women directors and sort of cultivate them. And I
mm-hmm.
was reading something about, like, women producers and women directors. And I thought, man, that is me. I'm not showing up to these writer rooms because
mm-hmm.
I didn't, you know, they're describing the Ivy League kids who are 22 and they have always known they wanted to write for a late night
mm-hmm.
and never questioned it. But then there's
mm-hmm.
the writers who didn't do that. They didn't
mm-hmm.
grow up knowing this was what they always could have done. You know, I
mm-hmm.
just thought, I'm funny, but when it comes time to go to college, you got to choose
mm-hmm.
something for real. You know, your parents
mm-hmm.
are going to see this as, this was a great hobby, sweetheart, but now
mm-hmm.
it's time to really
yeah.
support yourself, you know, or marry
mm-hmm.
rich or whatever. Because the world still thinks like that. Because they're not
right.
seeing anyone else pioneer in your family. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm realizing that this whole journey of needing to step back and reevaluate, where is my confidence, like my actual confidence,
mm-hmm.
and just finding that, I see, I have not been applying myself. And applying
mm-hmm.
yourself, you might, when you're young, you hear that a lot, but I'm actually
mm-hmm.
living inside of those words, feeling like I have to apply as if
mm-hmm.
I'm the best candidate, as if I believe in myself, as if I got that job tomorrow, there isn't a
mm-hmm.
reason I'd procrastinate about it. There isn't
mm-hmm.
a reason I don't think I could get the assignment done. There should
mm-hmm.
be no doubt in my mind that if I meet a colleague who's difficult to work with, we won't
mm-hmm.
find a way to work around that. You know, you
mm-hmm.
just have no stops. There's nothing that's
yeah.
stopping you from, I may
yeah.
have the third best writer packet. Should I still
mm-hmm.
submit? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas
yes.
before, it's like, you know, I was reading this in Sam Bennett's book. She writes for procrastinating geniuses. And
mm-hmm.
she talks about
yeah.
15 minutes will help you get your work done. And
mm-hmm.
she said that perfectionism is really the other side of procrastination. It's because
mm-hmm.
you think you have to get it so right that you
mm-hmm.
end up doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, God, do we need women's stories? Yes. Do we need the colored woman's stories? Yes. So
mm-hmm.
why would I be quiet? You're all looking
mm-hmm.
at me like I am this incredible creator already.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I not
mm-hmm.
look at myself that way?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's
right.
a shame. So I think it's on all of us is the long answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's on all of us. It is like, what is the story we tell ourselves that there isn't enough people of diverse
mm-hmm.
color? Okay, so then
mm-hmm.
what can I do about that story?
Mm-hmm. 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 That's so good. I love that. And I think it's great because it shows, you know, that I tell people all the time, like for me, I don't have, and it sounds crazy, but it's just who I am and being honest. I don't have a perception in my mind that people are going to treat me differently because of my race, because of my faith, because of my age, because of anything. I don't think about that. Like for me, if there's a dream or desire in my heart, I move forward in it and I don't allow the other things outside of me, you know what I mean, to determine those things. I think if that person can do it, then therefore I can do it too. And so that's why, you know, and you know how I am. I love to be able to create new opportunities for people because I look at it like, you know, I don't have to look to anybody else to affirm me or to be like, oh, you know, we want to give you opportunities. Obviously, that would be great, but, you know, we'll sit there and die if we're sitting there waiting for other people to do things. So I think you're great. You're
right.
So right about that, taking the initiative and creating opportunities like you're doing, you know. And so I think that's phenomenal, and I'm excited for you. So with that being said, share with us what are your current projects that you're working on. You can share as much or as little as you can. I know sometimes things are in development, so we can't always share too much, but share as much as you can.
Here's some things I can tell you. I am so excited because, you know, on that diversity note, I went out and I did kind of what you did a few years ago. I just decided to reach out to this artist
mm-hmm.
who had been doing, her work was featured on Sepia Mutiny. It was this brown girls online magazine. And her artwork
mm-hmm.
illustrations were so beautiful. I was like, who's this chick? And her name was Nidhi Chinnani. And it took me to her body of work. And it is called Everyday Love Art. You can look that up. And she would illustrate brown girls who were dating white boys. So I was like, okay, let me keep looking at this. This is me. This is so cute.
Yeah.
And I felt like tailor-made for me. And that's her. That's her and her husband, who's of Italian descent. And it was just really sweet, really relatable. And then that's not all she makes, of course. There's, like, pictures. It's, like, that kind of art. Oof, you just feel it. Like, she can capture a moment of happiness. And she also draws animals and just a really sweet, sweet body of work. And she's been doing the Comic-Con and WonderCon. So we are finally teaming up and sort of kicking around some ideas for children's books. And I'm taking a story that I've got from Toastmasters that really won first place through a lot of levels and really retooling it to be more for kids. And it is about that blind spot. You know, we all have it. And how do you know what it even is when it's a blind spot, you know? And I think that if kids knew that they have one, they'll we can get that awareness for young people at a much, much younger age so that they can be so much more in charge. If you knew who you were, you know, at a younger age, what do you think you would have accomplished if you knew how powerful you really were, you know? So that's the kind of story. I feel like these are stories that need to be told, and I'm doing my best to get that kind of work out there. Something else I'm really excited about is there's my boyfriend is really into music, and I always wondered how do we merge our worlds of comedy and music. And he and I sort of manifested last year meeting Dave Grohl, and I got to MC the Conejo Valley Days show for Chevy Metal, which is a band out there here in Southern California. They're sort of the best cover band in the world. And our friend at Rock and Roll Pizza, David Veggie Vieira, he invited me to MC that show, and we're doing it again this year. And we can't say whether Dave will be there or not, but I am creating that he is and that I get to live out a Bollywood fantasy with him. So look for that.
Yes, exactly. That is so cool.
And just having crazy fun, like wherever our dreams can take us, I now actually believe that they can if we can choose to see them.
Yeah, that's so good, Rasika. I'm thankful I've had you on the show today. I want to bring you back on again so we can chat longer. Maybe we'll chat after the Oscars, you know, bring you back on again this season.
Sounds
and,
good.
Let's tweet. Exactly. May you let everyone know how they can stay up to date with your career and your happening?
Yes, I think the best way is follow me on Twitter, y'all, at Rossi Ross, R-A-S-I-R-A-S, or you can hit me up at my fan page on Facebook. Also go to Siblings of Doctors Sketch Comedy Troupe on Facebook, because we're funny, but we're not medical.
Well, there you have it. We have Rasika Mather on the Sade Champagne Show. She is phenomenal. Her best work is here and yet to come. If you think you've seen great things from her, you ain't seen nothing yet, because she's just continuing to accelerate and to expand. And so I love you so much, and I want to thank you for calling in tonight and being on the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio.
I love you, girl. Best of luck to you, and thank you for having me on this episode, The Magic Number 3.
Exactly. Thank you, dear. Have a wonderful rest of the night, and we'll be in touch, okay?
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Next up, we have Marry Me by David Banner featuring Rudy Currens. Thank you for listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio.
They say I'm an urban myth. They said black men don't exist. Prove them wrong, won't you marry me? Marry me. And They say I'm nothing but a sad old sheep, but here I am on my bended knees. Prove them wrong, won't you marry me? Oh, marry me. So I'm asking every woman and girl all over the world if you wanna get married, you can marry me. Now I know you've been hurt. Around this ring, girl. If I could, that's what you mean to me. Give me a hand in your heart, girl. I swear, safe for eternity.
Baby, I can feel your pain. Let me heal your pain. After you leave with me, you never feel the same. I'll steal a plane, fly over hills and plains, reach in the clouds, even steal the rain. So a seed can grow, believe me and know. I'm a king, you a queen, I'll leave you know. Got you covered in the death zone. I know you see the threshold, come get carried, let's get married.
They say I'm an urban myth. They said black men don't exist. Prove me wrong, won't you marry me? Marry me. And they say I'm nothing but a sad old sheep, but here I am on my bended knees. Prove me wrong, won't you marry me?
Are you looking for a dynamic musical artist, performer, host, or inspirational speaker for your next event? What about a mentor, vocal instructor, or workshop leader for your school, company, or seminar? Contact Sade Champagne for countless professional services that are sure to fit your particular need. She is an in-demand, award-winning, and critically acclaimed musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur who is invited all around the world. She is known for having a powerful voice, turning ideas into action, creating, directing, and executive producing popular, charitable, and inspirational events, and bringing out the gold in others. Her services are for all ages, backgrounds, and environments. Contact Sade Champagne at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's spelled SadeChampagneMusic
sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com, sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com, to book her for your next event or project.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Right now we have an interview with another friend of mine, Adina Musta. She is a popular model and blogger who has been in videos for artists like ASAP Rocky, Maroon 5, Jason Derulo, and Chris Brown. She has modeled the runway for LA Fashion Week and brands like Ethica Girls, Want My Look, Imprint Swimwear, and Fashion Q. She has also been in the Lifetime movie A Teacher's Obsession, ABC Family, and Fox. She is known for her spicy Instagram and Snapchat. Recently, she created a lifestyle, fashion, and traveling blog titled Neo Looks with her cousin, Dina. Let me get her in the studio. Adina, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you for calling into the Sade Champagne Show tonight.
Yeah, of course.
So share with us, when did you first get into modeling? Like, when and how?
I got into modeling about 3 years ago in New York. I went to a competition, and I got scouted, and then I got signed down in L.A., and then I just moved here. So that's basically how I got into it.
Wow, that is so cool because, you know, you wouldn't think that you were only in it for 3 years because I feel like with how comfortable you are in front of the camera and how you know how to move your body and your face and, you know, that you would have been doing it for much longer than that.
Yeah, well, once you keep doing it and you keep shooting with different photographers, you finally learn how to move your body a certain way and how to do certain things. So it just becomes easier and easier every time. I'm still learning how to do certain things that I don't even know
are
that
you,
photographers tell me.
Yeah, are you originally from New York?
No, I'm from Iowa, actually.
Oh, okay, so Iowa and then the competition in New York and then you moved to Cali.
Yeah, and then I moved to California, yep.
So who inspires you?
I would have to say my mom, dad, and my brother. Only because, I mean, we moved to America when I was just three and we came from nothing and built something amazing and now they gave me the life that I have. So it inspires me every day that I came from nothing and now I have something amazing. So I just keep going and hoping for the best.
Wow. And so where are you originally from? Well, obviously you moved to America when you were three, but where were you from before that? Where were you born?
I was born in Germany, but I'm full Bosnian. So I'm from Bosnia. Yeah.
That's so cool. And what tips and encouragement would you give to aspiring models? Because, you know, everybody wants to model nowadays. It's like one of the biggest career forms, and you've been able to have some success in it. What are some tips and encouragement you would give to other aspiring models?
I would just say I know a lot of people will be negative towards you. You just have to keep telling yourself that you can do it, and those people that are putting you down are basically empowering you. Because I know when I get negative things, I just want to show people more that I can do something, that I'm somebody. And I know every time I go into any modeling agencies and someone says, oh, no, 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 I mean, it's not you, it's just, that's just not the look that they're looking for. So you just have to keep going and hoping for the best. You can't be so negative towards what other people are saying and just be positive, like with the people around you that are surrounding you and putting positivity into your life.
That's one of the things I really love about you. You know, when I got the chance to meet you and we, you know, were able to hang out for a bit, is I love that you're a very fun-loving, positive, and encouraging person. You're really chill and down to earth. And, like, even, you know, if you get negative comments, you don't respond to them. You know what I mean? You just continue to do what you do. And I think that's huge because I'm sure you see it nowadays. People start getting into, like, arguments with people posting comments and stuff on their page. And it's like, you know, like you say, like, why are you going to let it bother you? Instead, allow that to fuel you because you know it means that you have something to offer, that people are willing to be negative and discouraging towards you. It's because they actually really see greatness in you and they're threatened by it, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people are more threatened than anything. They want to be in your place. But they can get to that place if they're not so negative towards everyone else.
I agree with that. So
yeah.
Tell us about your new blog, Mila Looks. I love this. I got a chance to, you know, go through it, and I've been, you know, keeping updated with the posts. It's really colorful. You know, you can tell that you and your cousin Dina put a lot of effort into it. I love, you know, being able to see your different adventures, and you show, you know, glamorous sides of things and fun sides. Like, for example, you know, when you were talking about you went to a beautiful fancy restaurant and you did enjoy the food, you know, and it was cute and everything, but you're like, we're still hungry. And so you're like, we went to In-N-Out afterwards. And so I just thought,
yeah.
You know, things like that were super cute. And so share with us about your new blog, Mila Looks.
Yeah, well, me and my cousin had started a different blog that wasn't called Mila Looks. It was called Delicate Sash, because
mm-hmm.
my cousin is more of like the delicate side. She's very, you know, she has a certain different mm-hmm. look than I do, and I'm more of the sassy kind of side.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we thought of a different name. So we had Mila Looks, and Mila is, in my language, it means love. So
mm-hmm.
everything that we're putting into this blog is basically what we love, and we show a certain different kind of look, like types of looks. Like, I have a certain
mm-hmm.
look that I always wear that attracts, you know, a certain age group that girls want to dress like me, and then she has a certain age group that people want to dress
mm-hmm.
like her. So we're kind of
mm-hmm.
just combining two different styles into one blog, and since we are cousins,
mm-hmm.
it just like works out perfectly and makes us be able to like go on adventures and get to do like fun stuff and show everybody if they ever come to LA, they can go and do this stuff and where to buy certain things that we buy. So
mm-hmm.
it's just kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun activity for us.
Yeah, I can tell. Do you take the pictures yourself, like with your phones, or are you using like professional cameras?
We have a professional camera that we bought at Best Buy for $300.
Mm-hmm.
So we just use that one. Sometimes we'll use our phone, just depending on if we forgot our camera or something. But I mean,
mm-hmm.
the pictures always end up looking the same. Either way.
Yeah. Because I'm like, dude, those photo quality, you know, that you guys have on your blog is really, really nice. And so you can tell
yeah.
that there's a lot of effort put into it. And you would think that you ladies have done photography before with, you know, the intricacy of the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it just depends on, like, the lighting and where you take the picture. And since I've, like,
mm-hmm.
done so many different modeling things, I've learned from photographers. So that's just
mm-hmm.
how we incorporated, like, the pictures. I just kind of
mm-hmm.
decided where we should go and where we should take pictures.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tyra Banks has said this many times, that because of her having so much experience with modeling, that's how she was able to get into photography. So you will find that a lot of models are actually very good at photography, because you know, you see things from the other end of the camera. So, you know, as you learn just the logistics of photography, you're able to come up with amazing pictures and projects.
Yeah, that's actually funny you mentioned that, because I do photography for two of my best friends for their Instagram,
mm-hmm.
since they have such a huge following.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of their main photographers, so whenever we get a chance, we always go and shoot, and people
mm-hmm.
are just like amazed at like what I can do with
mm-hmm.
a camera, but it's just because I know exactly what to do, since I'm always in front of it. So
yeah. you're a woman of many talents, and I look forward to one of these days. I want to do a photo shoot with you, and you can, you know, you can help me out, because I'm, you know, still a newbie in doing a lot of photography, you know, as far as modeling and everything. And so you can give me some tips and even do the photo shoot if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, of course. Let's do it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for calling in tonight. As we wrap up your interview, I would like for you to share your social media handles so people can follow you and stay updated with your career and happenings.
Yeah, of course. My Instagram is Adina Musta, AdinaMuspa, and that is my Twitter as well. And then
mm-hmm.
I am very fun on Snapchat. That is with two A's, Adina, AdinaMusta. So I get a lot of comments on my Snapchat, because I entertain people too much. So, yeah.
Yes, she's a lot of fun. Make sure you guys check out Adina and Dina's MilaLooks.com blog. And then, once again, as she shared, check her out on Twitter, Instagram, and also Snapchat. Thank you for calling in tonight, sweetheart, and I look forward to seeing you soon, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of the night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Our next segment for the night is Tan Candy Style with Tanya Chisholm. She is a stylist and vintage clothing curator for the Tan Candy Vintage Boutique, and she will be teaching you how to join in the conversation.
Hello. Hi, guys. It's Tanya with Tan Candy Style, and we're back. Welcome to the second segment of identifying and developing your personal sense of style. Last week, just to briefly go over, in case anyone did not hear last week's Candy Style, basically we went over our first two steps, which is to make a Pinterest board so that you can identify your own personal style and to pick your style type, which you can actually go to my blog, which is www.tancandy.com, and click on the blog tab, and you will see there it's called Tan Candy Style 101. So you can go there and figure out what your style type is just to get caught up. But today I wanted to go over the second two steps, and they are fun ones. So the third step in identifying and developing your personal style is to take stock of your closet. So this can kind of be a doozy, depending on how much clothes you have and how much clutter you have, which if you're me, is a lot. So it's really important to clear away the clutter in your closet so that you have a good idea of what you have and what you don't have. So what I like to do is go into your closet, and first of all, anything that you have not worn in the last 6 months has got to go. You don't like it. You like the idea of that piece, and I have so many dresses that like that that are just so beautiful, but I never wear them. Get rid of them. So you don't have to throw them away or do anything to them yet. Just take them out of your closet and hang them up somewhere else or put them on your bed. Next, you want to kind of refer to your style type and the rest of the clothes that you have in your closet and kind of identify what are some of like the odd man out pieces, right? So if you have mostly kind of, you know, collared shirts and pencil skirts and all of that, and then you have one piece that's, you know, some crazy lace bohemian skirt, which is fine. Like, it's totally fine to have different types of pieces. But a lot of times we'll have a piece in our wardrobe that just doesn't really go with anything. And so those ones you also want to take out. So you basically want to take out everything that either A, you're not wearing, or B, doesn't fit you, C, isn't flattering, or D, doesn't really go along with your general overall aesthetic. So once all of those things are out of your closet and you're left with what you actually wear, it's going to be a lot easier to see what you have and what you need. A couple ideas of what to do with the clothes that you took out of your closet. You can either donate them, or what my friends and I do is we do a clothing swap where everyone brings their clothes that they don't wear anymore. You put them in a pile and everyone just goes nuts. And I have found some really awesome pieces that way. So do that. And then everything that's left at the end of the party can get donated. So that's a great, fun way to kind of clear your closet out. So, yes, that's step three. Take stock of your closet. So once your closet is clean and clear, the fourth step is to make a list of the pieces that you need. So there are a few basic pieces that every girl should have in her wardrobe, okay? And they don't have to be the same kind of pieces, but these pieces are basics. And they're where you should invest your money when it comes to clothing, because the pieces that are – I'm going to name them off in a second, but these pieces are timeless and they never go out of style, and they're really the foundation of your wardrobe. So like a house, you need to build your foundation first before you, you know, fill in the gaps with other pieces that may be kind of on trend but not a piece that's going to, you know, that you can also wear 20 years from now and still be fashionable, right? So the pieces that never go out of style are the pieces that you want to invest your money into, you know, good quality fabrics and whatnot. So I'm just going to list them off quickly. Plain white t-shirt, obviously. Everyone needs a nautical striped shirt. It's a great basic. A white button-down, and that could be like a silky white button-down or a cotton white button-down. I would get both, but I'm partial to the silky white button-down. A great leather jacket, a sharp blazer, skinny jeans, black pumps, neutral ballet flats, and a classic black pant. And lastly, a little black dress. Obviously, every girl needs a little black dress. Now, depending on, you might be confused, like, okay, if I'm this kind of style type, do I still need these things? And the answer is yes. So these are all foundational items. And depending on what your style type is, these items will look different, right? So if you are a classic style type, your little black dress might be just, you know, a simple wrap dress. And if you're an avant-garde style type, your little black dress might be, you know, with like big voluminous shoulders and kind of a structured cutout skirt. Actually, kind of like, I have a dress up right now on the website that's called Vintage Noir. And it's a black dress with puffy sleeves and like, it's very avant-garde. So both of those are little black dresses, but one is very simple for the classic and one is extravagant. So that's kind of like how you want to incorporate your style type into these basics. You know, the nautical striped shirt could be for, you know, a classic gal would just be a basic one. And maybe for avant-garde would or whimsical, you know, it'd be like sparkle stripes on, you know, on the stripes, whatever. So you want to invest in these pieces because they never go out of style and they're the building blocks to your wardrobe. So like the things that come into style, let's say like, you know, graphic tees were totally in style. In 10 years, they might not be, but you can wear, you know, throw on skinny jeans, black pumps, and a sharp blazer over that tee and look awesome, right? So different things can be swapped out, but the basic building blocks you really want to have because they'll allow you to incorporate trendy pieces and you can mix and match. Okay, so yeah, those are the two. That is all for me. Those are the two steps. You can refer to them if you, again, go to my website, www.tancandy.com, and click on the blog section. You will see this post, and you can refer to it. Make a list of these things and really write down what out of the basics are not in your closet. That way, and keep it in your purse, that way the next time you find yourself shopping, you know exactly what you need, right? So a lot of times we go shopping and we just end up buying kind of things that we like, and then we're left with a haphazard closet filled with this dress, and then this top, it has nothing to do with this top, and it's very difficult to mix and match. So if you have a list of the things, the basics that you need, you'll be able to remember that. And my two rules, really, with buying anything, but specifically with buying your basics, is A, you should love it, and B, it should be well made. So my leather jacket that I have, I love it. Like, the cut is perfect. It has kind of like a puff sleeve. It's so cute. And I want to wear it forever. So those building blocks, those basics, you want them to really, really be ones that you love so that you can wear them, you know, as long as the garment holds up, basically. So that's it. That is all for me. I think we're going to take questions next. So if you guys have any style questions, feel free to call in and ask me. I will answer them. You can also ask me in the comment section of this blog post or just contact me from my website. Again, my website is www.tancandy.com. You can also find me on Instagram at tancandy. And if you'd like to come see me in person and get a little style consultation and check out some of the sweet new things we have in the shop, we pop up, which means we become a physical store, every Saturday from noon to 3 at Made by Jim Bob's Jewelry Shop in North Hollywood. And that address is 11114 Magnolia Boulevard. So, yeah, that's it for me. I will be back in a couple of weeks to bring you the next two steps. So I look forward to answering your guys' phone calls. Thank you. Bye.
Are you a fashionista? Do you live for glamour? Are you always posting the chicest OOTDs on Instagram? Then, girl, you have got to check out Tan Candy. Tan Candy is LA's newest, hottest vintage clothing brand, personally curated by stylist and actress Tania Chisholm. Tan Candy specializes in high-end, funky, fun, one-of-a-kind vintage clothing and amazing statement pieces. We also offer personal and editorial styling services. Check us out online at www.tancandy.com or in person every Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. at Made by Jim Bob's Jewelry Shop in North Hollywood. That's 11114 Magnolia Boulevard. Tan Candy, vintage glamour and cool girl style.
Here is Joel Piper's Room for You. Keep listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Right after this, Tanya will be answering your fashion and style questions. We're giving you this song break for you to get your questions ready. Call in now at 323-693-3043 to chat on air with Tanya and ask her your style and fashion questions after this song. Once again, that's 323-693-3043 to chat on air with Tanya and ask her your style and fashion questions. We're taking your questions from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and also, as she mentioned, her blog as well. So go.
One thing, can I be lucky enough to find someone that wants to make me smile? I wake up every morning hoping that maybe it could be the one. Did you find me so I could give you more than you'd ever need? I could be the frog prince and sweep you off your feet. It'll be my disguise until the day we meet. I promise you, one day I'll find you, one day I'll find you, and then I will love you forever, forever, I'll stay true. I will love you forever, forever, there will be room for you. Oh, forever, there will be room for you. Oh, forever, there will be room for you. Room for you. We'll be right back.
This is Tanya Chisholm from the Tan Candy Style segment, and you're listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. I'm here with Tanya Chisholm. She's a stylist and vintage clothing curator for the Tan Candy Vintage Boutique. She wants to answer your style and fashion questions right now, live on air. Call 323-693-3043 and press 1 to chat with Tanya. She'll also be answering your questions from Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, too. Hashtag TanCandyStyle to ask her questions and join in the conversation. We got some callers on the line. All right, Tanya, so let me get to the first one. Let's bring them into the studio.
All right.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
Hi, you're here on the Sade Champagne Show. Can you share with us your name and where you're calling in from? Hi. I think they just accidentally dropped. They're like, I didn't know. Okay, guys, if you press the 1, that means that you want to chat on the air. So that means we will be asking you questions if you want to chat. If you want to chat, make sure you press 1 on air, okay? All right, so while we want to see if that number 518 wants to call back in, I have a question for you, Tanya. So for people
that are in
transformation, like say if they're going through a large weight loss, you know, whether it be just through health reasons or if they, you know, are just, you know, had a child, you know, or even with weight gain. So what would you suggest to someone, like, say, if they're trying to get to a particular goal and, you know, they're obviously going to have changes in their wardrobe, would you suggest to them to just buy little pieces of clothing at once, you know, until they get to their ideal, you know, healthy size? Or what would you suggest?
Yeah, totally. That's a great question because it can be difficult to, you know, if you're losing weight or whatever, or even if you're gaining weight, to pick pieces that A, look great on your body, and then B, not buy a whole wardrobe because you're going to be changing. For transitions like that, I would always suggest flowy pieces. Like, I really love maxi dresses or even like caftans. I have a few awesome caftans up on my website, vintage caftans, because they kind of cover, you know, your body and they're flowy, so you can't really see what's underneath. You can also belt these pieces so that, you know, it sucks in your waist at your natural waistline, which is the thinnest part of your waist. So if you belt those pieces, it will create the illusion that you have a smaller waist than you do. And then because the piece is flowy, it will flow down from the belt and kind of cover any problem areas. Also, these pieces, like these flowy pieces, just look really glamorous. So I would suggest that. That's a great way to kind of hide problem areas and still look fabulous. I'd also suggest, you know, getting – I have also a few incredible robes and kimonos. It's the same concept, like a flowy piece. You just throw that on over maybe jeans, like skinny jeans and a t-shirt, and kind of the flowy fabric over, again, creates the illusion that you're smaller than you are because you're putting something big on top of you. So it kind of creates that illusion.
Yeah. That's good because, you know, I'm sure people think about that all the time and they're like, I want to get these pieces that you have, but I'm kind of in transition right now, you know. So we do have another caller. We actually have multiple callers on the line. 518, I'm going to go to you because it looks like you want to chat with Tanya. This is area code 518. So I'm going to bring you into the line, okay, or into the show. Hello? I think we got you back.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome to the Sade Champagne Show. Can you share with us your name and where you're calling in from? What city?
Southern Carolina, and I'm from Albany.
Awesome. Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
Thank you, Caroline, for calling in. So what is your question for Tanya?
Well, I kind of have a tough one. I like to dress in a lot of jeans and sneakers, but I'm wondering how I can dress nice, but I'm not really one to like dresses or skirts.
Sure, yeah. I mean, jeans and T-shirts are a totally, like, legit way to dress. You would probably be under, like, the classic style. So I feel like to dress up jeans and a tee is kind of simple. You can trade in, you know, your sneakers for maybe like a really comfortable booty. Like I really like booties because they don't necessarily have a super high heel, but they add just a little bit of height. You can also opt for a booty with maybe metallic details, so it's not so, you know, super girly. It adds a little bit of an edge. And then with your t-shirt, you know, find a t-shirt that fits you really well, and you can throw on like a blazer over that or like a leather jacket, and that way you look put together and clean. But you're still like laid back and kind of true to your aesthetic, which seems to be like kind of laid back, you know? So I would say that and jewelry. I am such a fan of the statement necklace, which if you guys don't know what that is, it's usually like a big, like chunky necklace. And, I have a few that I really like, and to put on like a statement necklace with like a white tee and jeans and like wear those little booties I said. And that will take you from day to night kind of instantly.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for calling in, Caroline.
Thank you, Caroline.
Do you have another question for Tanya?
No, that was it, but thank you so much.
Well,
we want to thank you,
Caroline, for calling in to the Sade Champagne Show, and we hope you have a great rest of the night, and feel free to keep listening into the show, and if not, we'll have the link up so you can listen to it later, okay?
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye, girl.
Bye.
All right, guys, we got a few more minutes with Tanya on air tonight. If you have a question for her, let us know, and you can tweet it to us, Facebook, Instagram, go to her blog. We do have another call on the line, but it looks like they're just listening in. All right, your segment tonight, Tanya, was so good. Like, people have been enjoying it, and even I was taking some notes. I was like, man, I definitely need to clean out my closet.
You think to yourself, and I know it's just a great way to really figure out what you have and what you don't. Because I have a lot of, like, extra stuff in my closet that I don't wear, and so it could just be confusing when I go out to shop. I don't really know what I need, you know?
And, you know, people, we all think the same thing. Maybe I'm going to wear that one day. And I remember it was when one of those fashion shows, and they said, you know, and they help people organize as well. And they were like, if you haven't worn that in, you know, more than like 2 months, she goes, and that's already pushing it. She goes, you're not going to wear it. She's like, obviously it's different if the weather, you know, doesn't call for it. But usually it's stuff that we just hold on to thinking, maybe I'll wear it. And it's like, no, we're not.
Right, exactly. And also a good way to get around that is like maybe giving that piece, those pieces to a friend, because then the option is always there to borrow it back if you do really want to wear it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. And so as we're wrapping up your segment tonight, unless if we have any other people that are calling in, did you see any questions on your social media or anything?
I have to look. I'm like on the same phone.
You're like, I'm on the same phone.
You think to look on Twitter.
I know. And so if you happen to see any questions, we got a couple, you know, about a couple more minutes from people. If not, share with everyone again about your pop-up shop and also your store online too.
Oh, yes. So my pop-up shop, we just started a couple weeks ago. So with vintage clothing, it can be difficult to buy online, I know, because the sizing is all different. And I really make the effort to put all of the measurements on the website so that you can compare those to pieces that you already have so that you kind of have a safety net based on, you know, the sizing of clothing. But it's just so much better, I think, to shop in person. So we've opened up the pop-up shop. It's every Saturday from 12 to 3 in North Hollywood. And that way you can come in and you can meet me and I can style you. I give everyone kind of like a little free mini style session. And I always have new pieces every week, pieces that are not up online yet because that's a process, putting the stuff online. So the stuff I have online is like maybe a fourth of what I have in the shop. So this week we're highlighting vintage loungewear. So I have a ton of just gorgeous, like, you know, sheer nightgowns and robes and whatnot. And so you can, I always post the new pieces on Instagram. So you guys can always look at my Instagram account and see the different pieces that I have. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I look forward to meeting everybody that could show up there. We've had a few like repeat customers, so it's been really good.
Well, your style is phenomenal, and I've thought that about you since I met you, and it's just it's wonderful to have watched it evolve, you know, over the years.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to start helping other people develop their personal sense of style because it's really, you know, dressing well has really impacted me in such a positive way, and it really changes the way you feel, and I want every woman to be able to take control over her style and the way that she presents herself to the world, because that is important.
Awesome. So true. All right, guys. We have a couple callers that are on the line. If you want to chat with Tanya now before we end this Q&A, you have, I'm going to give you about 30 more seconds to press the one button so I can,
30
see,
more
can
seconds.
See you. And see you, and we'll bring you into the studio. Okay, I think I see it. We got another caller. 805, area code 805. I'm going to bring you in right now to chat with Tanya, okay?
Hello.
Hello, welcome to the Sade Champagne Show.
Hi, Sade. I have a question.
Yes, awesome.
And I have a question.
Oh, Marsha, hi, how are you? This is one of my biggest supporters. Marsha, say hi to Tanya. We're doing her fashion and style segment. I know how much you love fashion and style.
Oh, absolutely. Tanya.
Hi, Marsha.
So much from you tonight. I wanted to ask you, what do you think about the wet look coming back from the 70s? I remember my husband, Adam's dad, wearing it when he was a performer. But what do you think of it as possibly coming into the fashion world?
Oh, I love all of the 70s pieces that have been coming back, and it really came back just quickly. I think with Gucci's new line, if you guys haven't seen it, just like Google Gucci's resort wear for 2015. And I think with his collection, he kind of like ushered in this whole new 70s vibe, and I love it. It's like so feminine, like the silhouettes are very feminine and you know, flowy pieces and jumpsuits, and I have a ton of 70s stuff in the shop because that's coming back. So I am all for it. I love it. I think that, you know, the really, like you see inspiration from different eras in the modern trends anyway. But I think that's usually those things come back because they're great silhouettes. They're time tested. So, yeah, I love it.
Well, thank you very much for your input. I sure appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Oh,
thank you
welcome.
For calling in, Marsha, and we appreciate your support and listening into the show. You have been so phenomenal to me over the years, and your son, Adam, as well, and we just greatly appreciate you guys.
Thank you, and by the way, Lord Stig von Sertime says hello.
Thank you. He's one of my biggest supporters in Norway, so... Shout out to Lord Stig.
Thank you,
Marsha. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so you guys, it looks like you are finished with asking Tanya questions for the night. I'm going to obviously bring her back throughout the season. She's one of the cast members on the Sade Champagne Show, and we're going to do this Q&A again, so you'll have an opportunity to chat with her soon. So, Tanya, thank you so much. And you are
thank
phenomenal,
you.
Spectacular, all the amazing words that I can come up with.
I'm
thank
so
you, glad
my
to have
dear.
A friend.
As are you.
And you. I'm going to come to your pop-up shop one of these days, and you know I'm going to post pictures all about it, and so people
oh,
can see it.
Yes,
and
girl.
Like, I'm going to buy all this.
Pick job that looks great on you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tanya. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you. You too. Bye, guys.
All right, everyone. I did have one more segment for tonight, but because our interviews and everything went a little long, I'll save that for next week. That's the great thing about having your own show is I love being able to just go with the flow sometimes. You know, we have a schedule, but you have to be willing to just be flexible. That's a huge lesson for life is learning to be flexible. And so I'll be sharing my charity spotlight, which is where I highlight some of my favorite charities next week. So, as we wrap up tonight's episode of the Sade Champagne Show, thanks to JIT Chronicles, Virginia Supernova Slim, and Kata Masiasso for the opportunity to create my own radio show. We're actually going to have JIT Chronicles on the show next week, sharing with you guys about the new season of Grind Hard Radio show. And thanks to Travis Miller for creating and producing my theme song and Scott Swish for mixing the song. Thanks to my guest, Rasca Mather,
and Adina Musta. Thanks to my castmates, Lisa Leewald and Tanya Chisholm. I appreciate everyone who called in. Next week, one of our celebrity guests is Jay Styles. He is a radio host and personality and media personality from 97.1 Amp Radio, 100.9 The Heat, Sirius XM. He's from BET, CW Network, and more. Our final song of the night is Monica featuring Ludacris with Still Standing. I changed the final song tonight because I wanted to dedicate this to my best friend, Travis Miller. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning into the Sade Champagne Show, and we will see you next week. Join us in same time from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific time right here on Grindhard Radio.
Mama always told me, baby, you gotta walk by faith and not by sight. Real talk, you gotta listen.
Thank you. dreams come true. There's no limit to what we can do. Turning no to yes, leaving doubt behind, releasing the stress. We were born to shine.